Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us once more is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Hi, Scott. Doing great. And I'm remembering the cliffhanger we left people off with the last episode, and that had to do with, I am from Africa. Should I be eating food grown in Andes?
Herbs. Well, like, should I be getting tinctures of stuff? And, you know, so I guess it's kind of like, I've been eating blueberries. That's what my family has eaten for like generations and generations, thousands of years. And now I got these goji berries from the Andes. You know, should I be eating those?
Right. And goji berries are originally from China. So what are they doing in Andes, right?
Oh.
But anyway, it's okay. It's all good. You know, why is it that the Irish were eating potatoes when they came from the Quechua in the Andes in the first place? How is it that tomato is now known as the Italian food when there was no tomato until Columbus and his cohorts brought it back from America? For the longest while, it was considered poisonous. They were afraid to eat it and were using it for decorations for several hundred years.
And did you know that all types of tomato plants except the one that we eat are poisonous?
Nightshades.
So it was that was kind of wild when I found that. It was like, actually it was poisonous, but not that one.
But anyway, so let's go back to the genetics of it all. And that I said the three magic words on our last podcast, which was carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. And if you really look at them structurally, carbohydrates are composed out of only two elements, carbon and hydrogen.
Carbohydrates, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Fats, you add oxygen to that. And protein, you add nitrogen to that. That's it. Mm. It's really, really simple. Anyway, the point is this. Some of us are really efficient at digesting carbohydrates in such way as if let's make a model of two car engines, a diesel engine and a gasoline engine. Gasoline is much more flammable than diesel. So if I put gasoline into a diesel engine, I'll burn it out. I'll wreck it because the temperature is going to burn too hot. If I put diesel into a gasoline engine, I gum it up, it'll run too cold. It will actually not run.
Hmm.
Similar thing happens with us. If you're oxidative system dominant, you're either on the fast oxidizer side or the slow oxidizer side. A slow oxidizer needs to eat carbohydrates because his burning of energy is not very efficient. He needs the light fuels. A fast oxidizer can't eat carbohydrates because he's so efficient that it would send him into these shocks. It's the high burn followed by a crash. And so that's what you see. If you see kids to whom you've given candy, some of them just metabolize it fine. You give him a chocolate bar, he eats it, and he feels fine and doesn't do any, no mess, nothing. Another kid, you give him a chocolate bar, and pretty soon you watch him running in the room, not on the floor, but on the walls. Sort of, you know, 6 feet horizontal.
Right.
But that lasts only a while, and then he has a crash, and then he's miserable, throws a tantrum, is just obnoxious, is just terrible. So there's your crash.
Yeah.
And there are associated mental states. One mental state, the acidic mental state, is one of hyperactivity, of anger, of short-temperedness, and just crankiness. That's when people get too acidic. People, when they get too alkaline, it's lethargy, sleepiness, and out depression. So that this is all food regulated. One type of people is made alkaline by fats. The other group is alkalized by carbohydrates. So you can figure it out for yourself.
So what would be a good test to figure that out, Martin?
Well, there's actually a scientific method. If you really want to do it, get yourself a glucometer, which is the same tool that every diabetic uses for checking his blood or sugar level in his blood. And then administer a glucose challenge. It would be 40 grams of dextrose and 8 grams of cream of tartar, just some potassium. Anyway, you mix it in a drink. You check your blood level at the beginning. Then you hit yourself with the drink. 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 20 minutes, and 20 minutes, these intervals, check your blood level, sugar level in your blood. And you can graph it out. And if you're a slow oxidizer, you will have a fairly reasonable sustained level of energy. If you're a fast oxidizer, you will experience a high sugar level very quickly. It's just going to spike up very high. And then in a fairly short amount of time, it's going to crash below normal. So you'll be hyperglycemic for a while and hypoglycemic soon thereafter. There you got it. We got you typed. What we don't know is whether you are oxidative system or endocrine system dominant, and we can figure out your endocrine dominance through your physical characteristics. They're rather entertaining because we have these different physiological or behavioral characteristics of each of these body types, or not body types, metabolic types. But I don't want to get too sophisticated, detailed about it. So instead, could you repeat the question?
Well, I think you pretty much answered it. It's like, how can we tell which one we are? And I think the key to the whole thing is being aware that we're such a fast-paced society, we expect feedback to be pretty immediate, right? We run yes. through a red light, a car hits us, we know right away we did something wrong. Whereas when it comes to the food, it, like you said, 3 or 4 hours, it can take a little bit of time before we realize, oh, when I eat that, I get that. And then there's also, as we talked about last time, this whole addiction thing, right? So it's kind of like when I eat a donut, 4 hours later, I'm laying, in the couch, just exhausted. And
needing another donut.
And needing another donut. And I don't realize that's the result of my eating the first donut. So then I don't do anything about it. I just eat the next donut. So there's that awareness thing that comes.
All of a sudden you're in the whipsaw of this crash, burn, crash, burn, crash, burn.
Well, and I think this is the life that most people live. And maybe this is why we have people that are, we've got all this depression and everything else going
yes.
on.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Scott, this is just so atrocious that the statistics-based pharmaceutical medicine is ignoring the one critical issue, which is biological individuality. Mm-hmm. If you and I were identical, the foods would affect us the same way and we would have the same result. But we're not. I can eat sugar pretty much straight. I mean, I can live on dates, figs, and pomegranates. I don't know where my ancestry comes from. Somewhere in the, North Africa, I suppose, or Turkey. I don't know where exactly. But these people are fully capable of living on high-carb diets. I can do that.
You can do that?
Yeah. I'm a slow oxidizer dominant. I can live on straight candy bars if I want to.
Right.
I mean, it would be stupid because it's not nutritious.
Right.
But as far as energy goes, I can live on candy bars. But I couldn't do that to you. You need to eat high protein, high fat diet. Otherwise, you're going to be suffering terribly.
That's right. And yep. the key is that if unless we understand that, then we're on this treadmill of poor health, miserable attitudes and emotional upheavals yep. because we're not living. I mean, it's like you said before. You've got you're sticking diesel into something that needs high octane gas,
right? Or,
you know, you're sticking high octane gas into a tractor.
And yes.
There's just
You burn out the valves. No question.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And so.
So let's put it this way: these guys have done some research. I can actually point you to a page that we have on our website, which shows that if you belong to Group One, you have an 80% chance, if you eat the North American standard diet, of coming down with either obesity or diabetes. And if you belong to Group 2, you have a 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 chance of coming down with cancer.
And so what do we have in our society now? We have an obesity epidemic, and cancer is the number 1 or 2 killer.
Right, 2. Number 1 is the heart disease, yeah.
Heart disease.
That's the inflammation. You know, that's again, too many calories. Inflammation is a word that describes that there is too much metabolic fire in the body.
Right. So if you eat against your type, you're either going to make yourself way too alkaline or way too acidic.
Right.
And we know that the blood has to be in a certain pH balance, which is a balance between acid and alkaline.
Right, it's slightly alkaline. It's about 7.35 or so. 7.35 is where it needs to be.
Right. So by eating a diet that either makes us one or the other, we create a great environment for disease.
Yes, that's correct.
And we need to stop doing that.
Yes. Well, so long as we do the wrong things, we'll continue to be getting the wrong kind of results. It's terrible. It's as if our ignorance were sentencing us to this purgatory, to this terrible state.
Okay, so I want to take it slightly different.
Okay.
A slightly different way, I mean. And that is... Because last time we talked about, you know, this woman who drank like 2 gallons of Coca-Cola every day, smoked 30 cigarettes, and she died of a heart attack, and they were kind of blaming them. And they weren't actually blaming Coke, but I mean, you know, they were talking about Coke, so you kind of get guilty by association. And yet we have this – there's this I'm just trying to try to get this the right way. We all think we have free will, right? We all think
right.
I have a
well,
choice.
Yes, you have some level of that, yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, if I try to throw myself off of a cliff, I've got a huge battle with my free will going or my non-free will going because it's, you know, it says no, that'll hurt you, don't do it, right? And
yes.
If I put my hand accidentally into a fire or over a match and it starts to burn, there's no free will. There's an automatic response of removing. But the point I want to make here is that we can be tremendously influenced by our environment, by what the commercials on TV or, you know, the newspaper articles or what we see, you know, as we're driving, billboards, all that sort of stuff. And so it's kind of like, I understand I shouldn't have a Big Mac, you know, every day, but I just can't stop myself from having a Big Mac every day.
Well, here goes. I mean, they have put enough MSG in it to make it addictive. They have played on your genetic needs. I mean, we are all wired for either creamy and fatty. That's one group's addiction, or sweet and fluffy, that's another group's addiction, right?
So salty.
Salty, that's another
fast
trigger.
Fast foods in North America have 3 times the salt of fast food by the same company in Europe.
Yeah, I saw the study that came out recently. They're showing that they're salting food much more in America. Explain that to me. I guess salt is cheap, and if they're selling it by weight, the salt weighs a lot more than real ingredients. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's strange.
I mean, there's higher cost associated, I suspect.
But they must have figured out that they, you know, more people come back because they want it, or I don't know. Anyway, it's what's interesting though is that it's not done because the company figured out North Americans are better off with three times more fat. I think we can assume it's done because they figured out that if they put three times more salt, I mean not fat, put three times more salt in, they sell more.
I guess we have to go with that theory. You know? I guess we have to go with the regulators in North America are less stringent than the ones in Europe. And therefore get away with more, and therefore the food in America is more addictive than the food in Europe. But you know, here's an interesting thing. There's a shift happening. Like people of my generation, the ones that are like 50 years or older at this point, we grew up eating handmade food.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sandwich made by mom or sandwich made by kid. And
I can remember going out to the farm and my aunt would pull carrots out of the garden and a beet, some raspberries off the bush, corn right off the plant.
Right, stuff like that. But what an Italian or a French kid brings to kindergarten to school now is a granola bar in a foil wrapper.
Yes.
So the shift has already happened. The new generation coming in isn't eating those healthy foods. They're now eating food industry made snacks.
Yeah, and they don't even know.
Well, they are being addicted from ground up from early years, and so by the time they reach adulthood, they won't even remember what it's like to be making a spaghetti sauce from scratch. They'll be opening a tin can of tomatoes instead of going to the garden to pick them off the plant and smash them with their own hands, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we're busy, right? We're working in town and we commute and who knows what else goes on.
That's right. There's no time, and everybody's working.
Yeah. Yeah. It's come to that. It's funny. I was contemplating the price of real estate the other day, and I was thinking, well, the only reason the price of real estate goes up is because there are people willing to pay that price. I mean, if there weren't any takers, the price naturally drops.
That's right.
So the takers are there because they're willing to put themselves out that far. So it used to be that only the man was working. And so the houses that were being built were kind of modest. I remember the 1947 two-bedroom bungalow of 950 square feet that we still see. They're now being torn down and replaced by mini mansions that are 2,000 square foot per floor, three floors, right?
Yep.
So back then, we were willing to live in a smaller house that had a single bathroom or stuff like that, just much less well outfitted. And instead, we had just one person working. So now we have two people or two and a half people working and sinking all of that money into the house because we have convinced ourselves that we have to have this big house with three bathrooms and four bedrooms and marble floor and a granite countertop. And yet, we're never in that house, right?
And you have to have the granite top. Like there's no if, ands, or buts about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, otherwise, why have a house, right?
Heated floors. Don't forget heated floors in the wine rooms.
Yeah, heated floors. So anyway, all these features are coming in. And so it's moved the cost of the house dramatically. I was reading another cool thing. In 1960, everything was priced at about 8 to 9 cents of what it is today. That's how much inflation has devalued the dollar. Hmm. But here was the interesting thing. Gasoline was sold for 50 cents a gallon. So in today's currency, $5 and $6 dollars a gallon would not be out of line. And yet we're squawking at $4 a gallon.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And everything else like that, too. So a house, for instance, back then was $10,000. And so today's house should be $120,000. Well, it isn't. Today's house is $360,000. Mm-hmm. And that's in the out there country. If you're in Vancouver, that same house sells for $1,000,002.
Yeah. Well, there's been a correction in the United States. I mean, it's dropped a lot. So.
Well, we need to wait for all the wealth from China to somehow dissipate, because Vancouver is essentially is a place for the Chinese people to park their money, right?
Yeah. It's a world-class city is what they say. So real estate is very expensive here, just like New York, London, Tokyo, and imagine L.A. So.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's the excuse now.
Yeah,
it's
we have
very
an excuse.
Cheap compared to New York, so. But I don't think New Yorkers are moving here in droves. So.
Well, you know, the only reason why the real estate prices in New York were the way they were is because the people in the financial industry were getting these insane bonuses. Like when you were working for, I don't know who that was.
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs or one of those. And in your annual bonus was, $1,000,002. You had no difficulty paying a couple million for your condo. I mean, heck, you paid cash.
That's right.
But anyway.
Well, we got off the topic of metabolic typing.
Right.
And herbs. So I think it's safe to tell my South American and African friends that it's okay to eat herbs that are from other places.
Yeah, don't sweat the details. Focus on the major issues. And the three major issues are the proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, and the ratios between them. Some people need to have more carbohydrate. Some people need to have less. And the opposite. Some people need more fats and proteins. Others need less in ratio to the others.
Okay,
that's
so
the fuel mix.
Here's the next question that comes up. I'm a mom or dad, and I have two children.
Yeah.
Is it possible that, and I let's say I figure out for me that I'm one or the other.
Yeah. Let's just say that you are the protein dominant, and so you need to have, if you're going to make a sandwich, yours is going to be a romaine leaf rolled out, laid down with a couple of slices of turkey or roast beef, covered with mayonnaise, carrot sticks, and a bit of onion, rolled up, no bread.
Okay, but my daughter or son, will they be the same automatically, or would they be different?
Oh, absolutely no guarantee.
So I have to figure out what they are.
Yep, they need to tell you.
And they'll tell me because I'll feed them something, and they'll be yelling and screaming and running up the walls, or they won't be.
Exactly.
I mean, when you think of all the kids that run around grocery stores yelling and screaming and just causing havoc.
Yeah, tantrum time.
Tantrum time. And you think, well, you know, if that mother or dad just said, okay, what was I feeding them? Well, you know, some jujubes or, turkey breasts or something. And say, wow, we don't really make that connection in our society, do we?
Yes, we do not. And there it is. It's that simple, and it's very sad. Like, I can do it to myself, right? Being a slow oxidizer, for instance, I don't have a high level of hunger. I can start my day without a breakfast, and I can go quite a long time without eating anything. Hmm. But at some point, I hit the crash point, and I will turn into a total ogre. Like, I will be snappy. I will be unkind. I will be... Just miserable.
Okay, I thought total ogre, you were eating everything in sight.
Oh, no, 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 no. I know, still not eating, just telling you to, you know, get lost and don't bug me and everybody's an idiot and nobody makes any sense. You know, like just feeling like the world is absolutely messed up and I'm the only guy who's together and, you know,
right.
Like.
And you're making everybody around you miserable.
And wrong, and of course ostracizing, and I mean the payback is horrendous, right? Like
yeah.
all the words that you wish you would have not said,
right?
Can't take back. So, I mean, I don't do this every day for entertainment value, but I certainly know that if I do this, like if I cave into my natural tendency to not eat a breakfast and stretch it past who knows how long. At some point, I'll hit the miserable spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be so acidic that it'll just affect everything around me.
Right. But
so
because you're aware of that, then you know, okay, here I'm acting like this, so this is what's going on. I can do something about it.
Absolutely.
And that's the key.
Yeah, that is the point. And so, if you're a mother of a child or whatever that's behaving like this. You can just say, okay, look back 2 hours. What did you feed that person 2 hours earlier? Whatever it is, whatever the mix was, it produced this kind of behavior. Change it.
So cool when you think about it, hey?
Oh, just. And anyway, so we have this program. It's called Metabolic Typing Advanced Test. And if you purchase that, you get access key to going to the website. You give your answers. It doesn't take all that long to do that, maybe half an hour. And what we give you back is a map. We give you a food table, the ones that, you know, the good foods for you, the so-so and the definitely stay away from. And we give you meal samples and we give you all kinds of directions. It's, you know, I even spend an hour with you explaining to you all the details that are specific for you. And there you go.
So that's a metabolic typing advanced test.
That's the one.
So where can we find this, Martin?
It's right on the homepage of life-enthusiast.com. Find it in the bestsellers. It's somewhere in the top five, usually. It's a popular item with us.
Awesome. Great. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Hopefully, we've given you something to chew on. And hopefully, it's going to balance you, not throw you out of balance. But the next time you look at somebody in your life and they're like just miserable and driving you crazy, or maybe a coworker, now you've got maybe an understanding of why that is, and it doesn't have to be that way. You can actually do something about it, which I think is really, really cool. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Martin, for taking time out of your busy day. And we'll see you all next time, everybody. Head over to www.life-enthusiast.com. And check out the Metabolic Typing Advanced Test. And there's all sorts of information if you do a search of our database. Lots of articles on metabolic typing. And I strongly recommend that you read it, because what if all the negative behaviors you've got going on in your families and the temper tantrums and everything else could be gently and easily avoided by just feeding us what we really need instead of the easy fast food food that we tend to gorge ourselves on.
Amen, brother.
All right.
Restoring vitality to you and to the planet.
Bye-bye.